It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Gasper and Murray, final hour here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, Tim McCone alongside as well, and you, 617-779-0985. Even though the Sports Hub Celtics show is over for the day, we'll continue the Celtics conversation because, we find out that Kyrie Irving, as you might have just heard there in Sports Hub headlines, is playing in the All-Star game tomorrow night. I have some thoughts there. Does it upset you? I can understand if you would be upset as a Celtics fan, considering you know you didn't play the last couple of games. And then Anthony Davis telling the media at NBA All-Star weekend that the Celtics are on my list of teams where he would accept a trade. Now we have sound. Hit it, Tracy.
Celtics being on that list, I just wanted to clarify, are they on the list or not on the list?
29 of the teams are on my list.
Everyone's on the list.
I don't have a preferred destination. Like I said, I just want to win. You know, they ask me big market, small market. I don't care. You know, I want to win. Obviously, whatever team, you know, I get traded to, you know, play for it that year or whatever. If I get traded, I'm not sure. But just make the best of it. And then, you know, when free agency come, see what happens. You know, I can't tell the future, but all 29 teams are on the list.
Just to follow real quick, so people who had reported it's the Lakers and then it's the Knicks.
I never gave a destination.
The man
Anthony
whose
Davis
voice it is,
never
Anthony
gave
Davis.
A destination
okay.
Where he wants to play.
Okay.
You know, shame on me. There's a lot of reasons to hate social media, obviously, specifically Twitter. You know, the outrage enthusiasts, the constant chirping, the negativity. It's a sewer, right? But one of the other things, too, is that you just read a headline and you immediately buy into it. Because when this broke this morning, it was sold as the Celtics are back on the list. The Celtics are back on the list. Can I hear that beginning of that clip one more time, Tracy? Because that's really not what it sounds like at all. The Celtics are on my list, guys.
Celtics being on that list, I just wanted to clarify, are they on the list or not on the list?
29 of the teams are on my
list. Everyone's on the list.
I don't have a preferred destination.
Yeah, no, all the teams. All the teams are on my list, except the one that I'm playing for, because I can't wait to get the hell out of here, despite you know, all the great food and beignets here in New Orleans. No one gives a rat's ass. Orlando, Sacramento, whatever horrible outpost you want to send me to, even Memphis, it's all on my list. Shame on me for not reading into this, and I should have waited for the sound. Oh, what a crock this is.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, you know what the best part was? At the end, when he referred to himself in the third person, and he's like, Anthony Davis has never gave the Pelicans a list. He hasn't done that. Like, come on, man. I love Anthony Davis as a player, but he has really just bollocked up this whole, like, situation, man. I mean, he has not handled this well at all. It doesn't make him look good. I think he comes off in that commentary is completely disingenuous. You know, whether he ever gave them a list or not, whatever the situation is, everybody knows. Like, not all other 29 teams are on the list. And the alarming thing, I think, from a Celtics standpoint, Jim, that he said there is basically, you know, hey, if I get traded, you know, I want to win, which is great. That part's good. But I'll go to the team, you know, for a year and see, and then free agency.
Yeah, the quote is, honestly, whatever team I get traded to, I'll play for that year or whatever. If I get traded, I'm not sure. Make the best of it, and then when free agency comes, see what happens. Ah! Oh, that's not good.
There is no level of commitment there.
No, not at all. I'm confident in the confidence on behalf of Danny Ainge and the Celtics brass of getting him here and figuring it out. Again, they have a proven track record. Granted, a little bit different of a case with Kevin Garnett because he was older and was truly chasing a title, but they have done it before. But, man, I'll play for that year. The quote is literally, I'll play for that year or whatever. Oh, God. Ugh.
I know.
Oh, that's scary.
I mean, it's scary. It seems like it's a huge risk in a lot of ways to bring him in if it's not a tandem with Kyrie. And so the more I evaluate the situation, Jim, I feel like it is either the two of them as a duo, or you don't have either one of them. Or like I'm not on board with the idea of Kyrie leaves, we're going to trade for Anthony Davis, give
Agreed.
Up Jason Tatum in the Memphis pick, and we'll spend this year convincing him to stay. I think that is a recipe for disaster.
I'm with you. It's both or none. Then don't if Kyrie's going to walk, then you don't chase this guy. You just don't.
I agree.
Bob in Wakefield, what do you make of Anthony Davis and what he said today?
Good. How you doing, boys? Listen, can't Danny Ainge use Anthony Davis' uncertainty to his advantage? What I'm trying to say is, he talks to the general manager of the Pelicans, and he goes, look, we want Anthony Davis, but you want me to give all my young kids up, all my high draft picks, and this guy doesn't know if he's going to stay after 1 year. So, listen, I'm not going to give you Tatum. I mean, you know, if they all leave, at least if Tatum's there, then you got a team. But if he leaves and he gets rid of all these guys,
yeah,
oops. They wrote eight years going back.
But why would the Pelicans care? If you're the Pelicans, you don't care about that. That's not your problem. That's,
no,
you
I
know,
understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, could somebody else give them a better deal than the Celtics?
Yeah, if Tatum's not in it, yes. I mean, you know, look, Kyle Kuzma just won the Rising Stars, you know, MVP and dropped 35 points, and he lit you up. So if you're not including Tatum in the deal, then Kyle Kuzma is probably better than anything else you're throwing in the deal at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say the Lakers deal is on the table right now is better than any deal you would offer if Tatum isn't in it. So then you're kind of screwed. Even if you don't know if he's going to stay or not, like if you don't offer up Tatum, then he's not going to come to Boston.
Yeah, and don't overrate the draft pick, by the way, because it's, you know, it's not going to land that high. And without
the Sacramento pick, you mean?
Sacramento pick, I'm sorry. Yeah, but still, Tatum's the prize here. You know, you want to say whatever you want to say about Jaylen Brown, and he's good at times, but there's still an inconsistency there. And Kyle Kuzma is better than him. Offensively, he is a better player than Jaylen Brown. You don't have enough without Jason Tatum. They just tell you to screw, no matter who the GM is, whether it's, you know, Danny Ferry or whoever they end up hiring. Let's go to, what do we have here? Chris and Quincy on what Anthony Davis said this morning in Charlotte. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Am I the only person that's a little nervous with Ainge mentality where it's Davis or bust? I mean, the free agent class is stacked next year. And just from all the chatter, it's just crazy. It's just like, if you don't think this guy's going to resign here, they have other options. He's given them a lot of options and a lot of different avenues to go. And it just seems like he has such a, he just wants to chase this guy, even if it puts him in a bad position.
Is Danny Ainge too pot committed on Anthony Davis?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the Holy Grail for him, you know, and he chased Garnett in the same way. And, you know, this is cue sports cliche, but you can't teach size. And so he's not only a superstar, but he's a superstar big. And that is sort of a separator, I think, in Danny Ainge's mind. So when you look at all those things, it's, you know, that's the guy. When you factor in age, ability, size, all those things, Anthony Davis is the one who I think moves the needle the most for the Celtics.
Jeff in Columbus, you're next here with Gaspar Murray. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, what's up?
Okay. Hey, listen, let me go. I'm at the gym with you. I'm going into a quiet room. Hey, first of all, I want to tell you guys that I'm from Boston originally. I live in Ohio now, but you guys have great sports radio shows there. And you guys, I'm just going to congratulate. Compared to out here, you're just way above whatever. But anyway, I told the person, your producer, when they called me, or when I called them, that I'm from Boston. And my dad actually was a doctor for the Celtics back in the 60s when he was doing a residency at Mass General. And I saw a lot of Boston games, and I'm a big Celtics fan, obviously. But I want to give a view on Kyrie that I really haven't heard. People always talk about the question, is Kyrie
is the team better without Kyrie because they win their records? And that really isn't the question. The real issue, I think, with Kyrie is that he's in and out of the lineup so much that it causes this disjointness in the team and in their collectiveness. Whereas last year, when he got hurt, and even though it was a blow, they knew he wasn't going to be there. So when they practice every day, and I don't think it's changed, but I used to watch practice every day as a kid, and you develop these habits in practice. And when you get out into a game situation, especially when it gets tense, you revert. You default to what you've done mostly in practice.
Jeff, I'm going to let you go on that. Go enjoy your workout. Thanks for listening on 98.5sportshub.com or on the app. We appreciate it. Yes, we're better than all those Midwestern stations.
I think that's an interesting point. I mean, it took him a while to get to it, but it's an interesting point.
Yeah, the lack of cohesion. Is it because he's not around enough? I just feel like it's more of a mental thing that these guys, some of these guys resent them, and they got to check themselves. Like a guy like Jaylen Brown to me, where there's obviously been an issue between him and Kyrie, right, and some of these other veterans. He carries himself as a guy that feels, dude, you weren't here. We got it within a game of the finals last year. We kind of don't need you. And all you do is yap, 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 yap. We're sick of hearing it. So when he's there, I don't know, it feels like they're burdened a little bit, and that's why it doesn't look as cohesive as it probably should. I mean, maybe it's just as simple as that. You know, maybe it's a practice thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you brought up a good point, though, just sort of that there is a mental part to it, too. We talk about it in baseball, right, what your role is. You know, okay, I'm the seventh inning guy. Okay, I'm the ninth inning guy. I think for these players, I think you brought up a good point. It's, okay, well, wait, is Kyrie in the lineup tonight or not? Because if Kyrie's in the lineup, then my role is different. Oh, Kyrie's out, so now I can take all these shots. My role is different. Maybe that has something to do with the team looking disjointed and the lack of cohesion. And it also speaks to my point of if he's in and out of the lineup because you need to rest him with these little injuries or you need to make sure he's available for the playoffs, then why at the rest point of the NBA season, the All-Star break, is he playing in the meaningless NBA All-Star game, which I enjoy as a fan because I love basketball, but let's be honest, it's a glorified layup line. That's what it is.
All right, Anthony Davis saying the Celtics are on my list, essentially, with 28 other teams. It's ridiculous. This thing, again, when this broke this morning, Davis, yes, Celtics on my list, and it took, like, what, 40 minutes for everyone else to deduce that he meant every other team in the NBA? Shame on me for buying into that. That's the, you know, that's what happens when you just, you know, read a headline on social media. See, oh, the Celtics, I would go to the Celtics, along with the Kings and Orlando and the Knicks and Brooklyn and Dallas and Chicago. Oh, all right, we get it. So we'll continue to get your thoughts on what Anthony Davis said today ahead of the NBA All-Star Game tomorrow night at 617-779-0985.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics being on that list, I just wanted to clarify. Is it on the list or not on the list?
29 of the teams are on my list.
Everyone's on the list.
I don't have a preferred destination. Like I said, I just want to win. You know, they ask me big market, small market. I don't care. You know, I want to win. Obviously, whatever team, you know, I get traded to, you know, play for it that year or whatever. If I get traded, I'm not sure. But just make the best of it. And then, you know, when free agency comes, see what happens. You know, I can't tell the future, but all 29 teams are on the list.
Just to follow real quick, so people who had reported it's the Lakers and then it's the Knicks.
I never gave a destination.
The man Anthony whose voice Davis it is, Anthony
never
Davis.
Gave a destination okay. Where he wants to play.
Okay.
Jim Murray does not like that answer. Jim Murray does not like that answer from Anthony Davis. I'll use third person if he's going to. That's Anthony Davis, Pelican superstar, who's now just mailing it in, and I don't blame him because he's like checked out. Speaking this morning ahead of the All-Star game, saying, Celtics are on the list. All 29 teams are on the list. And, well, if I get traded, I'll play. Again, the quote is, I'll play for that year or whatever. I'm not sure. Make the best of it. And when free agency comes, I'll see what happens.
You know, Anthony Davis is like that, you know, guy or girl who the lights have flickered on at the bar and he's looking for somebody to go home with and he's not really that choosy.
No.
Not that selective.
Just looking for some love for tonight. And then we'll see what happens.
And then we'll see what happens. You know, we'll figure it out. And then I'll be a free agent again.
It's Casper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Up. So, I don't know, Celtics fans, do you feel better about hearing that? You know, you did hear prior to this, well, he was off the list. You know, the Celtics are off the list. Now they're on the list. along with the Chicago Bulls, the Brooklyn Nets, the New York Knicks, the Orlando Magic, the Sacramento Kings. Name a suck team. They're all of it.
I think your local YMCA team is on the list, frankly. I don't think he's not really selective.
Again,
the
lights have been flicked on.
Yeah.
Whatever, I'll go pigging for the night. I just need a little love, and I'll figure it out later. Let's go to Nate in Boston. Let's see. A lot of Celtics calls here, but then there's other assorted stuff. We'll basically take whatever between now and two when we wrap the show.
Got to get to the AAF talk.
That's right. Nate, hello.
Hey, guys. I'm calling because I just slightly disagree with your assessment on the Lakers have a better offer if the Celtics don't involve Tatum. Mm-hmm. While I do love Kuzma, I just think that his ceiling is Rudy Gay. He's just a guy who can score, but he can't really shoot. And if you think about it, the Pelicans already have Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. If the Lakers were to offer their whole team, they would just pretty much be the Lakers that we've seen the past 2 years in that division.
Sure.
And also, when you think about superstars getting traded, Paul George got traded from East to West. Jimmy Butler got traded from East to West back to East for Porzingis. It seems like teams, they don't trade within the same conference. They like to trade outside of the conference. They don't want to help another team within their conference become a contender. So I think that would actually help the Celtics more in this situation to kind of give them a package.
Yeah.
With, you know, even though
it depends
Kings
on who the GM is, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if you get a GM in there who's like, I don't care, I just want to set my team up the best, and this is the best I can do, I think your point's valid. But I like for Dell Demps, I think it absolutely applied. But for whoever ends up being the GM there, they might just say, look, I'm rebuilding this thing from scratch. I got to get the best players I can get. I can't worry about. We're so far away from competing with the Lakers or anybody else in the West. Give me the best players I can get.
True. I do think that, you know, Jaylen Brown, the pick from the, what's it called? The Memphis Grizzlies. That's going to be a lottery pick. They're trying to unload their team. The Kings pick, I think that is better than Kuzma. That's just my opinion. I might be a homer, but I think that'll be a better pick than Kuzma and like Lonzo Ball.
Thanks, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. That to me is a stretch just because, look, I get it. Kuzma's a streaky shooter. He hasn't shot well this year, although he shot well against you, and he shot well in the Rising Stars game. I think he's a better shooter than Nate's giving him credit for, but I understand why he would say what he would say based on the numbers. The reality is, though, you know Kuzma, on some level, can play in the NBA. Whatever that pick is from Sacramento, and let's assume it's outside the lottery, you have no idea whether that guy can play. That you're going to get can play. And I don't think this is a particularly good or deep draft once you get outside the lottery.
Well, they also offered up Brandon Ingram, too, who's averaging 17 a game. And I know I'm not super high on him, but he's played pretty well the last month and a half, too. So you have him and Kuzma, and I don't really think you have a package there that's going to top what the Lakers are offering. Again, if you don't offer up Jason Tatum.
Matt, what do you make of Kyrie Irving playing in the All-Star game tomorrow night? You like it?
I think it's okay. I think from everything I've read and everything I hear, it sounds like we're banking on Kyrie and Anthony Davis' friendship more than anything to get him here and to keep him here. So maybe just him being down there for All-Star Weekend is kind of an extension of the team.
Yeah, but I have no problem with him being down there. I never had – being down there is fine. Just don't – you can be down there and do everything. You can court him and not play in the game.
Yeah, I understand that. Maybe they told him, like, don't do anything stupid, and I guess that's better said than done. And I also think with their friendship, I don't think Danny Ainge is going to make a crazy trade without getting some sort of – behind the scenes, yeah, we'll probably re-up. And I don't know, between their friendship, I think a lot of that's going to be worked out behind the scenes before he unloads his whole team just for 1 year rental, you know?
Sure. I think the problem is we have a chicken or the egg scenario here. Do you go get Anthony Davis and then Kyrie pledges to you? He says he's married to you and he's enticed by the fact you got Anthony Davis? Or do you need a pledge from Kyrie to turn around and get Anthony Davis? How do the pieces fit? What's the permutation? What's the order? Because if you do it in the wrong order, you could be in big trouble.
More on Kyrie Irving from Steve in Medford. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Big Jim. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Nothing. I wanted to run something that you guys on Fogram Mass talked about earlier in the week. And you guys were talking about how, like, all these big superstars kind of have an inherent drama with them. And, Jim, remember you brought up the point that Giannis was kind of the exception?
Yeah. Well, I've since found out a little bit more about Giannis, so I might have been wrong on that one.
Well, this is to your point, though, that I can think of a couple of guys that don't really come with that inherent drama. And I think, well, one is Nikola Jokic, and that kind of goes to the Giannis factor of, you know, he's born outside the United States, he didn't grow up in the AAU culture. But two guys I can think of that don't really come with that drama are Steph Curry and Damian Lillard. And I think the reason that they don't come with that necessarily like inherent drama is because they weren't recruited out of high school.
Yeah.
I mean, Damian Lillard went to Weber State.
Yep.
Curry went to Davidson University. So those guys kind of really had to earn their way up. And when you look at Kyrie, I mean, you look at him, number one pick in the draft. I mean, obviously went to Duke. I mean, he kind of has always been told in his life that he was always the best player in the room. And I think that's what comes with these guys that come with inherent drama. And unfortunately, in the NBA, as much as I love the league, it's my favorite sport, that's the thing you got to deal with when you get these top-tier guys. It's always the more likely scenario than getting a guy like, you know, Giannis or Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, I do think, you know, the European factor, you know, is a thing for some of these guys. Maybe they're a little bit more understated. The AAU thing factors in. I don't know, just with Kyrie, guys like him, like, I don't know, they're just lust for the limelight, and I think that's part of it. And he's got other interests, whether that's trying to be a movie star or music, whatever the hell it happens to be. And maybe it's just easier for him to get access to those kind of things and that kind of thing that can help pump him up how he wants to be pumped up in those areas in a place like New York or L.A., wherever that
is. Yeah, I mean, I think Kyrie's a really fascinating, interesting, intelligent guy, and he has interest outside of basketball. So, yeah, I mean, obviously there's drama in the NBA, and the players in that league, the star players, have a lot more sway, influence, and power than in other sports. But I think some of this is just sort of unique to Kyrie and his personality as well.
Let's squeeze in another Kyrie-related call here. Kyrie Irving coaching the Rising Stars game last night down in Charlotte. Hello, Alex.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Murray? How are you doing?
Good, what's up?
Not much. So Kyrie with the knee injury, right? He's coaching the Rising Stars game. He had to be down there anyway. That's what Ainge said.
Yes.
But he's got a bunch of Rising Stars on our team, and he kind of sucks at dealing with them. So seems like he shouldn't be down there anyway. And my mother, when I didn't go to school, I wasn't allowed to go outside and play. So Kyrie can't play the two games before the break, but he's going to go down there and diddle around with friggin' LeBron? That don't make any sense. I don't know. I'm real worked up over it, Mark.
I can understand. A lot of people upset that Kyrie are going to be playing in this game tomorow night. You were one of these people. You wrote this impassioned plea in the Boston Globe yesterday, and it fell on deaf ears.
It did.
He's playing in this thing. And it's not just the optics, right? It's the injury risk, too.
It is. I mean, again, I think you get out there, it still is a competitive scenario. I know it's just an all-star game, but he's going to want to stand out. And I just don't think this is the right place to be testing the knee. It's just not worth it. What is there to gain for the Boston Celtics out of him? So let's say he wins all-star game MVP. He comes out of it. He feels even better than when he started. Like, what is there to gain for the Celtics? And I'll be honest, and I didn't want to interrupt Chris Forsberg, my good friend, when we were talking with him, but I don't buy the rust factor. I'm sorry.
Like, not me either.
How rusty is he going to be? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Danny Ainge said he's going to be down there doing other basketball stuff. He said in his free time down there, he's going to find a gym. So he's doing basketball stuff, and then they're going to have, like, a practice on Wednesday. So, like, how rusty would he be? We're not talking about 2 months of inactivity here. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, with a guy like that who's that first of all, Kyrie Irving could roll out of bed 3 months from now and drop 60 points. So the rust thing, to me, I don't buy it at all. It's more important that he get the rest and that he be healthy, because I think these last 24 games are going to be a grind, and they're going to need him to play in almost every one of them to get the highest seed they can get, to get the best matchup they can get. And then you know what comes after that? The playoffs. And tell me, what playoff games will he be sitting out?
No, he will not be sitting out any playoff games.
So how much opportunity to sit him out is there really going to be over the final, you know, from here to mid-June, hopefully, when they're playing the NBA Finals?
And you can't argue like a caller just did a few minutes ago, like, well, no, he's going to go down there to help recruit Anthony Davis again. You could do that via text or a phone call, which, according
you
to
Jackie, you could do that down there.
Right,
you just don't play
there,
in
just
the game.
Don't play. You don't need to play in the game. It's just, again, it's bad optics, and there's injury risk there with that knee injury. We'll continue to mix in your Celtics calls. Got a couple open lines. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. Anything else that we have on the time remaining? But it is time to get, Chris, to the AAF.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about the butt rock station with the terrible signal. I'm talking about the Upstart Football League. Week 2 kicks off today. I want to get your thoughts on this because I loved it. I enjoyed it. We'll talk about this next right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bartovici never saw the man coming, and he is lit up. My goodness. Sean Washington with the stick.
All
All right, I got to get your thoughts on this, Chris. The AAF, the Alliance of American Football, it's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub, and that's the hit, the quarterback hit, where the helmet goes flying off the quarterback of San Diego, whose name I forget there.
Mike Bercovici?
Bercovici, that's what it was, that really lit up social media last week. And thankfully, I was watching it in real time because I found that. So this was Saturday, last Saturday, where they kicked this thing off with not much fanfare, and all of a sudden there was a lot of buzz. I felt like I was kind of missing out on something on social media. You get the FOMO thing going on. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Because at that point, in that first half of the Celtics-Clippers game, I found it interminable. I was like, okay, this is going to be a blowout. Like, I can't do this. I need another option. Well, I had another option in this San Diego-San Antonio game in the AAF. I liked it. It's not terrible. Like, it kept my attention because at that point I was like, well, I'll just mostly focus on the Celtics. I'll give this 5 minutes. And then like 40 minutes passed and I still had my eyes on it. It's not great, but it's not terrible.
I thought it was actually pretty good. I mean, for spring football, first of all, I was stunned at how many, like, the names of guys I recognize, like Zach Sanchez had that pick. I'm like, I know Zach Sanchez. He played it. I mean, part of it's because I love college football.
Sure.
But these are guys that I know not only from college football, I know that they were drafted and played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And some of them I'm like, oh, I thought that guy was in the NFL still. And they're not. So I feel like the caliber of play was pretty impressive. And some of the names of guys you had out there, I'm like, okay, I know who this person is. I mean, Christian Hackenberg.
Of course.
You know who these guys are. And I do
Trent
Richardson. I do think there's an opportunity for Spring Football League. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to watch every game. I think there's actually a game today. It's the Birmingham Iron and somebody else are playing on TNT before all
the... Yeah, 2 o'clock. Salt Lake and Birmingham.
Okay, so they're playing. So it's before all the All-Star stuff. I mean, if I'm around, I'm probably going to watch that. And I'll be honest, I'm looking at this now and I'm like, oh, their championship game is April 27th. It's only a 10-game season. I'm like, this should extend into May. Like,
right. Yeah, I think you get some good violence. Obviously, you can crush the quarterbacks without any flags. That's refreshing. I thought the game flowed well. There's enough there to keep me interested.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely a lack of talent at certain positions. While some of these names are recognizable, you can understand why they didn't end up latching on with an NFL team. I thought the offensive line play in some of these games that I watched was real iffy.
But you can develop that, though, and that's one of the reasons you need a league like this. Like, quarterbacks and offensive linemen, they don't get to play these young guys. So, yeah, some of these guys suck now, but they might get better, you know, the way guys would in the old World League of American Football.
Yeah. But just, I will say, just from an aesthetic standpoint, too, because they have CBS, they have, you know, real great television quality. You know, they have the overhead cameras and all that kind of stuff. I think the uniforms are tremendous that I saw in the game.
I like
that
some
I
of the names.
Yeah.
San Diego Fleet.
I like it. I like it. Will it last? Are the ratings going to be as sustainable as they were week one? Because I know on Saturday, that particular game that I was watching outdrew the marquee NBA game.
OKC in Houston?
Yeah, which has real
star power.
Don't
say that around ESPN. They're basically saying it was a draw. Like, they've come back with different numbers.
Even if it is a draw, that's pretty good for this AAF league that really had no marketing behind it. Did you know this thing was starting last weekend?
No, it was funny. It was happening. My wife was like, what is this? And she kept asking me questions about the league. And I'm like, literally, I don't know anything about right. this. Like, I'm Googling it as we're watching it. Like, what are the rules? What's a sky judge thing? I knew they were doing this. I didn't know when it was starting. And honestly, I had zero interest. But now that it's here, I'm kind of into it a little.
What do you make of the NFL actually airing some of these games? Because they did that last Sunday.
NFL Network?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good. It keeps football in the consciousness year-round. There's obviously an appetite for it. People love football. You know, it's America's passion, if it's not America's pastime at this point. And I think that in terms of a developmental league, the NFL needs that. And if they can latch onto this as a developmental league, and it's also a little bit of a weird time, I think, on the sports calendar. If you could extend this thing, like for me, I would, they're playing 10 games. I might maybe want to extend this to like a 12-game season with this championship game. So add an extra 2 weeks, and that gets me into May. Because I think if you have this going on, if you have the championship for this the week after the NFL draft, instead of basically like the week of the NFL draft, I think people would tune in.
Yeah, I think it proved that there is an appetite for it. Again, I don't know if they're going to have the sustainable ratings that they have had from week one, but, you know, I think, look, that you can gamble on it, obviously. You can do fantasy with it. People will tune in, not in the droves to the NFL, but I think it does prove that there is an appetite for spring football.
Yeah, cool.
Frank the Tank, been hanging a bit, wants to talk about the settlement with the NFL and Colin Kaepernick. Hello, Frank.
Hey, boys, what's going on?
Hey, Frank.
Look, although my opinion about Colin Kaepernick hasn't changed, it is kind of funny for me. I mean, I got to admit, I'm happy for the dude. Okay, I like the fact that finally the NFL has, you know, gotten bent over and taken one. The way that they've handled Ray Rice and Deflategate and all the other things. I'm happy that finally they got caught red-handed with something. And even though we're never going to know the details of anything, and I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think these guys have signed a non-disclosure agreement or whatever. I would just love it if one of them cracked and said something. I mean, what kind of a storm would that create? But all in all, like I said, I mean, it doesn't change my opinion about Kaepernick and what he did. But at the same time, you know, good for him. I'm glad that he took on Goliath and, you know, he won. I don't think that he was that great of a quarterback to begin with, but he should have been given a chance to have a job. But, hey, good for him. He took on the Giant and he won.
Yeah, Frank, when guys like Mark Sanchez, who stinks, end up getting a job before he should have got a shot, right? But more than anything else, I just think that what it proves is there would have been some bad stuff that the owners were probably sweating like old cheese on a party platter. Like they did not want any of that stuff seeing the light of day, like texts, emails that proved that they kept him out, or Lord knows what, from the likes of Jerry Richardson, or, you know.
Yeah. Or at least that there was some idea that there should be a punitive measure taken against him, or even, you know, emails, calls, or whatever that might have indicated some sort of insensitivity to racial injustice and inequality. So anything like that would be, I mean, look, I think the NFL, and I'm not saying this is what caused the settlement, Jim, but I think it was a little eye-opening to them, the amount of artists that did not want to be associated with the Super Bowl halftime show because of Kaepernick. I think that was an eye-opener for them.
Yeah, but so the settlement, he apparently gets, according to Mike Freeman, who talked to some NFL insiders, he tweeted this yesterday, between $60 to $80 million.
Well, is that for both? Isn't that for the two of them?
You know, it was just, that's all he wrote, was talking to NFL insiders, the settlement was for $60 to $80 million. I assume
there's two
was,
people in the settlement.
Right, because it's him and Reed, so it's got to be for the both of them.
Yeah.
I just wanted to crow real quick, too, about what I spoke about yesterday to open up Agenda Free Friday. Matt Kuchar, the golfer. Am I saying it correctly? Because people got upset about that. The golf nerds got upset because I was saying it. Kuchar, either way. The story, back in November, he won some golf tournament you never heard of in Mexico. It earned him $1.3 million. Customary for golfers on tour to give their caddies a 10% cut of their winnings. He had a backup caddy, this dude, David Ortiz, not that one. He gave him $5,000. If it was 10%, it would have been $130,000. Well, for all the bad that social media gives us, and I've now brought this up a couple of times today, it's a complete sewer. We know that. It's a den of negativity. And the one thing I really hate about social media more than anything else is it's given a voice to the voiceless, those that really shouldn't have it, that just have made a hobby out of outrage for no reason, just to try to get people fired. Oh, the worst people on the planet. But in this case, it worked, and I'm glad that it did, because Kuchar, whoever the hell you say it, the cheap-ass golfer. Oh, social media worked. And he ended up having to pay this guy. He gave him $50,000. And he had this big apology that he put out yesterday, in this statement that he put out, that he probably paid, you know, what he should have paid the golfer in the first place, to some PR team to be like, okay, we got to spin this, make me look good again, because I'm one of the top-earning golfers in the PGA. I've earned $48 million, not including my endorsements in my year. I'm a cheap son of a bitch. I have to make it look like I'm not a cheap son of a bitch. So let me write this. I'll give him the $50,000. He's still cheap, by the way. That's not the 10%. But he paid him off. It worked. Sometimes social media can be good.
Well, so I read a little bit. I read up on this a little bit. Apparently, he had an agreement with the guy,
mm-hmm,
that, like, you know, if it was like a top 10 finish, he'd pay him $4,000. They never covered what it would be if he won, and so that's why Kuchar thought he was just going to give him $5,000. I mean, honestly, like, I hate to take this to a different place, but really, if this were not in Mexico with like a Mexican caddy, like in the United States, if he had like some caddy, you know, named Jim Johnson from North Carolina, do you think he would have thought he could get away with giving him $5,000?
No. I think you're right on it.
Yeah.
This too.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. I think he thought he could get away with it, and he didn't, and he got embarrassed. And the other thing I read up on this was that some of his sponsors were upset with the negative attention he was getting.
Yeah, see?
So I'm not sure this was just from the bottom of his heart.
No, of course not. No, he stiffed the caddy because, like you said, he knew he could. Right. And he didn't think there was going to be blowback. And there was. And in this case, I'm glad that there was. And those that were defending him, because, believe me, we took some angry calls yesterday,
really?
From golf dorks. Yeah. And you can't even say his name right. So you're getting it twisted. This isn't about golf. It's about cheap son of people that are cheap son of a bitches. And if you supported this cheap son of a bitch golfer, you too are one of these cheap son of a bitches. When you go to the gas station and you see the little thing that says leave a penny, take a penny. I know what you do. You take the penny. In fact, you probably take all the change. You've been to Vegas. You won $2,000, say, at a craps table. You throw the dealer a $5 chip. You're cheap. You're cheap. You support cheapness. I'm not taking it any other way. You're trying to make it political and you're anti-rich. No, no, no. I'm pro-capitalism. Don't get that twisted. This was the handshake deal that they had. No, 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 no. Because the moral obligation was to treat this guy right. I start from 20% and move up. And when it comes to the service industry, which, by the way, I think should be a requirement in this country, especially for young teens and people in their 20s, you should be required to work in the service industry so you know how to deal with people. You know what that grind is like. 20% and up. And if someone gives you bad service, don't hold it against them. You never know what's going on in someone's life. And this guy, he wasn't just a bag boy. This is what he does. He deserved the customary 10%. If you supported Kuchar, whatever, the cheap son of a bitch, you too, sir or madam, are a cheap son of a bitch. Let's wrap up the show next with 5 questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports. Not cheap. In fact, a very fancy boy likes expensive belts, coats, Bloomingdale's. Man, we were in Atlanta at one point. Let me just say this real quick. We were coming back from dinner. We drove by. What was that mall? It's the Phipps Plaza, I believe it is. I mean,
we were in Buckhead.
Yeah, we were in Buckhead. And there, let me tell you.
It had all the stores I wanted.
Having lived there, there are fancy malls in Atlanta. And I point out this mall to Chris, and he hung out his head like a dog, like just trying, like sees a squirrel out of the car. Oh, sex. I'm coming back. So we'll have 5 questions for Fancy Boy next as we wrap up the show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murr. 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got 5 questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
5! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5!
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, so we wrap up the show each and every week, as long as we're doing the full 3 hours, which we did today. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports. I have 5 questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports. Let's dive right in. Question number 1, Chris, considering that you are a bit of a fancy boy, what is, if you're not comfortable answering this, I understand, but what is the most you've ever spent on one little shopping spree for clothes?
I'm not comfortable answering
that. Okay. I figured you wouldn't be, but I thought I'd try to.
I mean, I wouldn't even know. I mean, I don't know, but yeah. I mean, you know, depends.
Well, if you're feeling it, you're feeling it. Sometimes if you try, you know what? You got to treat yourself. Plug for my little side project that I do. Hopefully the second episode's going to be up here in the next 24 hours. Every once in a while, you got to treat yourself. That coat says it's $1,000. Buy that $1,000 coat. You like how you look on it? You like how it makes you feel? Spend that money. Worry about it.
I get one of those Canada Goose coats. I'll leave it at that.
Me too. Because I, too, am a bit of a fancy boy.
Question. Oh, you are. Yeah. And you'd love to rip me for it. Go ahead.
Question next. Number 2. You got a book recommendation for me?
Ooh, a book recommendation.
Even if it's something from the past that you read, that you loved.
I'm trying to think. I'm a fan. I like Dan Brown books. I know, you know, that's kind of basic, and a lot of people don't like those books. But I'm reading Origin right now, and I'm enjoying it. I do enjoy his writing, and I do enjoy those stories with, you know, Robert Langdon, the Harvard symbologist. So, yeah, I would, you know, the Origin. I know, like, people are sort of like, okay, if it wasn't, you know, Da Vinci Code's like the one, and they didn't like, well, I like Dante too. So I would go with those.
I like my books like I like my documentaries, depressing and dark. Really? And I can't recommend The Short and Tragic Life of Robert Peace enough. It came out like 4 years ago, but it's the story of this dude who grew up in Newark, New Jersey.
You told me about this one.
Brilliant dude. Ends up getting going to Yale. So essentially on like a swimming scholarship. Or not a swimming scholarship. Either way, goes to Yale. And then he just can't keep his head out of the streets and trying to live up to like how his dad's name rang out in the streets. It's an amazing book. And it will gut you. But again, The Short and Tragic Life of Robert Peace. Can't recommend that enough. Next, Tesla has introduced a dog mode feature on their car so you can leave your pet in the car. If you had a dog, Chris, would you trust a feature like this?
No. No, I would not trust that feature.
Neither would I. Don't Teslas light on fire? Like, I feel like I keep reading about how these cars, like, every 1 out of 5, like, lights on fire because of the stupid battery in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. Also, by the way, I hate to say this, but this is America. So you realize that someone is going to use that dog mode to leave their child in the car and think it's completely fine.
There it is. Next, a list of the top 15 products you need to buy in 2019 recently released. It includes a reusable straw, a smart doorbell, an Instapot. The list goes on and on. Is there any of those, big ticket or not, you might have your eye on this year?
You know, I wouldn't mind getting a new television this year. You know,
yeah.
The other one, I've had it for a while, and you know, so I wouldn't mind sort of switching it up and doing that. Also, I don't mind. What's that thing that Facebook's come out with? FaceTiming thing that follows you.
It's like the Jetsons phone.
Yeah,
from back.
I kind of like that. I wouldn't mind one of those.
Oh, I turn FaceTime off as soon as any of the iPhones I've bought in recent years. That thing comes out of the box. FaceTime off forever.
Delete. Really?
Oh, I hate it. Please, just
that's interesting.
The worst app on the phone is the phone. So now I'm going to have to make phone calls and you look at me? The hell out of here. Just text me.
Okay.
Finally,
good to know.
Marvel is reviving the idea of bringing back Howard the Duck, this time for adult television.
Oh, God.
What is a cheesy 80s movie, Chris, that you're embarrassed to admit that you actually loved? Maybe it's Howard the Duck.
No, definitely was not Howard the Duck.
Movie sucks, by the way. Anyone's trying to say to this day that Howard the Duck is a good movie, you're a fool and you're just trying to trick the
world.
Yeah,
that movie was terrible. I'm trying to think a cheesy 80s movie that I love. I mean, I love Top Gun, but I don't think that's cheesy. It's just a great movie.
And I would go with Adventures in Babysitting, but I don't think that that's a bad movie or cheesy.
I would also put that one up there, but I don't think that's bad or cheesy either. I'll get you one. I think this was sort of a cheesy movie and not a great plot, but I'll watch it every time it's on. Cocktail.
That one's cheesy. Same with Last Dragon. That's mine.
Oh, I love Last Dragon's not cheesy. No, that's not a cheesy movie.
It does not hold up.
Really?
No, not at all. I don't think so.
Who's the master?
Show enough.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to thank Tracy Clements for producing the show today. Tim McCone, Matt McCarthy on the Hub Headlines joining in as well. And, of course, always a pleasure, my friend Chris.
This was fun. Three hours flew by.
We have a Adam Jones situation coming up here on a Saturday. A bearded Jones.
Yeah,
I like this
mountain
look,
man Jones.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm testing the limits of what my wife will allow me to do and what not to do. No, not a big fan of the beard. Is Rambo cheesy?
No. I like
Rambo. That's why I was going to ask, but I don't know if it qualifies as cheesy.
So I would say RoboCop's cheesy.
No, holds up. If anything, that original RoboCop was way ahead of its time. You watch the mock commercials they have in the original RoboCop from I think 86.
Yeah.
It's basically turned to what real life is like. Like, we're all terrified of the ozone layer. You can't stay out in the sun. You'll burn and get cancer. Like, their mock commercials during their newscasts basically are like what exists today.
Oh, interesting.
RoboCop, still great violent movie. Holds up to this day.
Is Fast Times at Ridgemont High cheesy?
No, I think that that's one of the monumental comedy movies from the early
80s. It's great. Great movie.
Huh. I don't know if I have a favorite cheesy 80s movie. I don't know. I gotta dig deeper on that. I do know we need to dig deeper into these Anthony Davis comments, too. I heard you guys driving in. The headline is like, oh, Anthony Davis, can't wait to come to the Celtics.
Right.
Would love to come to the Celtics. Is that anyone else going to mention that he's willing to go to any team in the NBA?
Yeah, it took about 40 minutes for the rest of that story to break. We were like, wee! And then McCone told us during a commercial break, he's like, you know, he said every other team, too. Like, oh, wait, what? And then we played the audio, and I was like, oh, this is depressing.
Yeah, he's willing to go to anybody. So we'll get to that. Kyrie's going to play in the All-Star game. Great. You see Kyrie bossing around all the young players in the game last night?
Oh, yeah. I thought he would have wanted a break from that. That's what the All-Star break's for. You spend all season bossing around young guys and trying to get them to do what you want. But he decided that that's what he wanted to do with the All-Star break.
Just, for his All-Star vacation there, he got to yell at Jason Tatum some more. So I enjoyed that. Lots of Celtics stuff today. We might get to some Pedroia stuff, maybe Kaepernick as well. So I'm here till 5, so lots to get to.
All right, Adam Jones coming up next. You want to get on with him, 617-779-0985. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and talk to you Monday with Felger and Mass. Goodbye!
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.